Welcome back to the BunSports.com podcast. I'm Jacob Bunn, joined by the professor as we continue. We are now in March, and we are several months away from the college football season beginning. There are other topics that we want to dive into outside of college football, and I'll get the professor's take on them, and one of those is in college basketball. We'll get started with number 17, Iowa State, who beat Oklahoma 77-70 last night, another average routine big game in the Big 12, as they've had quite a few of those lately. But you had a very interesting take on this game and this outcome.
Yeah, sometimes, Jacob, you know, you start watching a game, and I was watching a little bit of that game, and it just looked like that Oklahoma was going to just dominate Iowa State, so I lost interest. And lo and behold, this morning I find out that while Oklahoma led, now these are two quality programs, as you just alluded to, top 25 program, both of them very good teams. And Oklahoma was leading 19 points at halftime. At one time, I think they led by 21. But Iowa State comes back to win the game 77-70. And I was saying to myself, you know, that's one game I wish I would have watched. But you know how you can be turned off and then you miss something really special. And so I thought that was a really special game for these two teams to play. And it means so much. And both of them good quality teams. And yet for a team to come back like that is amazing.
All right, well, let's move on. College football news going on right now in the world of sports. And I think this freshman ineligibility debate is one. I think we have a debate, it seems like, every offseason about something. Last year it was the 10-second rule and our fast-paced offense is getting too much of a break. And this year I think this freshman ineligibility craze, or some conference commissioners, the Power Five. We have Larry Scott, Bob Bowlesby, Jim Delaney, John Swofford, and Mike Slive. Four of those, with the only exclusion being Mike Slive, are four freshmen being ineligible.
I just think
Mike Slive is not. He came out and said that he was against it. What's your take on this?
I would have to be on Mike Slive's side on this, and I'll tell you why. First of all, Jacob, think about it. Some of those players come in who are really, they have spent a lot of time developing themselves academically. They've worked at you know, just developing their whole life, and they're ready. Now somebody else comes in who is not given the time, not being disciplined, not developed, and he's not ready. So, but yet when you start saying all freshmen are ineligible, you're punishing those who have really prepared themselves over many years. And for the sake of a few, or a lot maybe, who have not prepared themselves. But don't you think that the coaches and the universities themselves, when they get 25 players in, that they can tell the ones that are mature enough and ready and those that are not, and they redshirt them, hold them out. And that's the way it's been, and I think it works quite well.
Yeah, and I think Commissioner Slive of the SEC, of course, took that same thinking pattern that you just talked about. He said, to put a blanket over these student-athletes with a year on the bench doesn't address those individual needs to incentivize academic progress. Many students do come to college prepared both academically and athletically and ready to compete in the classroom and in on-field competition. And to penalize those students with a universal policy may create unintended consequences not beneficial to many student-athletes. So basically what he's saying there is what you just said. There are a lot of students who aren't prepared and maybe should be ineligible. But at the same time, there are a lot who do come prepared and ready to go. So I guess my question to you is, okay, we've talked about whether it is a good idea, and you say it's not, and I tend to be on your side, and Commissioner Slive, of course, says it's not. But there are four conference commissioners who support this, and so my question is this something that we could see passing in college athletics?
Well, in my opinion, which, you know, that's all it is, in my opinion, it'll never pass.
Okay, well, I hope you're right. I tend to be on your side, but we will see as we continue. Well, college basketball, we're 2 weeks away now, or 2 weeks from this coming Sunday, is Selection Sunday. I should say it's 1 week. This Sunday, it'll be 1 week from this Sunday. Anyway, college basketball is coming to a close as far as the regular season, and it's been an interesting regular season to a degree if you're a college basketball fan, but if you're not a Kentucky fan, it's been a rather, unless you're keeping up with the game-in, game-out saga of the Kentucky Wildcats' pursuit of perfection sometimes the college basketball season can be kind of monotonous. And I saw an article earlier this week talking about or making the case for college basketball being a one-semester sport. And I'd like to get your take on that. The college basketball offseason is kind of dry. It is kind of lacking a little something. Part of it, I think, the November-December games conflict with college football, and there's obviously a lot of attention around that here in the South. And I think college basketball gets overshadowed, and by the time that's over, you're well into conference play. And so my question to you is, do you think that's a good idea to make it a one-semester sport? And what can we do to make college basketball a little bit more interesting outside of just Kentucky, whether or not Kentucky's going undefeated?
Well, I think it should not be put into a one semester sport, and while I understand that February is when basketball gets serious, but at the same time, Jacob, wouldn't you agree that in the December January schedule, sometimes it might be playing teams that are not that good. Sometimes it's playing really good cross sectional games, but that's how you develop a team. So a team is not going to be playing that high quality, high top basketball in late February and early March if they have not played that whole season. So while the first part of the season might seem to be dull, but yet at the same time, it's really the development of those teams so that we can see the quality in the latter part of the season.
In the coming weeks, we're going to really dive into March Madness, and I'm going to get your take. You tend to have some keen insight into teams and how they will perform in the tournament and who's a team to watch for and so forth, and that'll be interesting. So you want to stay tuned for that. But I want to ask you about the top teams right now. Who do you look at, of course, with the exception of Kentucky? Everybody knows they're going to be the number one overall seed. But who else are you looking at right now as the top four seeds or the other three? And who do you see as maybe a sleeper team that no one's talking about that you'd like to keep an eye on?
Well, there again, you know, these are always moving parts, because a week ago I thought Gonzaga would be one of those teams.
Yeah, I did too.
And lo and behold, BYU beats them, and they're probably slid back to number two, maybe even number three, who knows. And Villanova, who really is looking good, but it's interesting, Jacob. A team like Villanova, who really don't have any great stars, but yet they can really, really play basketball, but to get in a tournament and without that, maybe we say that without that real strong player or two that can carry them, sometimes it's difficult in the tournament. Let's take a team like from the SEC, Ole Miss. Ole Miss has two really good quality guards. Now, they could do a lot of damage against a team that might be better than them, but because those two guards have so much to do. If you remember a few years ago, I can't remember his name, I remember, but remember when UConn went all the way, and it was because of one guard. I think his last
Shabazz
name was Gordon.
Napier.
It was Napier, yes. And you remember how he just took over the tournament, and that kind of thing can happen. But and Virginia, when you look at them, they're really, they just have an amazing defense, but sometimes they have difficulty scoring. So, you know, I don't know who's going to be that team that really steps forward, but I would think it would be a Virginia, maybe even these are blue blood teams, but maybe Duke at the end of the day. Who knows?
Yeah, and I think you can't ever count out Bo Ryan's Wisconsin team. They're right in there, and they tend to play hard, and they tend to be ready to go when it comes to the tournament. We saw them last year make it to the Final Four.
That team, Jacob, is one that you might ought to really look at. They have the star power, and they play. They know who they are, and they play the way they are. And so when they begin when you go up against them, you better bring your lunch, because they can really play. And don't be fooled by the fact that they're really strong and all those kind of things. But they can score the ball, and they really are difficult to play. But think about, Jacob, some of these teams that they go through the season and they're trying to find themselves, and all of a sudden, at the end of February, early March, they begin to discover who they are, and their players begin to come into their own, and all of a sudden, they're a team to be reckoned with. And I'd be surprised, I still would be surprised if Kentucky doesn't run into one of those teams somewhere along the way.
What was your take on Kevin Stallings, the Vanderbilt coach, his reaction to his player, who I guess he felt like was being less than class after the victory over Tennessee last week in Knoxville. Kevin Stallings gave a profanity-laced tirade to the player, telling him that he needs to calm down, basically, and not display that kind of behavior after the game. I think the player clapped in the face of a Tennessee player or something along that line. What's your take on that entire situation and Kevin Stallings, and should he have been suspended?
Well, I don't know if he should have been suspended or not, but it was very unfortunate. I think when you think about it, he was his tirade was about a player who showed a lack of class, and he showed a lack of class in the way he dealt with his player. And so what needs to happen? I think Jacob, sometimes you ought to put these together. If a person does this over and over, then they ought to have a strong punishment. Sometimes just in an emotional moment he does and says something he shouldn't have said. I totally disagree with what he said, the way he said it. While at the same time, I agree with him calling his player down. But he shouldn't have done it that way.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I think it was the wrong way to handle it. And certainly as a coach in major college basketball or major college sports at any level, you know there are cameras around. And especially when the game's on ESPN, you know there's going to be a camera there. And I'm not saying that you should do it when the camera's not on, but certainly you should be careful and mind your P's and Q's when the camera is on. He did not do that. He was reprimanded, I think, thoroughly in the court of public opinion, and I tend to agree with you. Shouldn't have been suspended, and wasn't. So we just move on. But Kevin Stallings needs to be careful and not do this kind of thing again, or he could become labeled as an outburst type of person. Well, we will continue to talk about college football, college basketball, and much, much more this month, especially as spring practice get started, and we're going to talk to the college football professor starting next week about some spring practice stories that he's looking forward to seeing, some battles in the SEC positionally, and who he thinks ought to come out in those or will come out in those and surprise athletes, as well, of course, as March Madness. As it gets started, the professor knows quite a bit about the sport of basketball, so we will talk about the NCAA tournament. We'll get his picks when the brackets come out. What he thinks the Final Four will be, that ought to be interesting. So much more to come this month. Keep it tuned right here to bunsports.com for the professor. And we are about 5-6 months away from the beginning of college football season. We can't wait. I'm Jacob Bunn. We'll be back next time.